This is Charlottesville Tomorrow. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonprofit organization engaging the public on critical quality of life issues so we make informed choices for our community's future. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
Charlottesville resident Kenneth Wayne Jackson has announced that he will run for city council as an independent. Jackson previously ran as a Republican in the 2004 election when he placed fifth. The candidate was introduced by Joe Thomas, a talk show host on WCHV.
Luckily, the crowd is such that I don't need to worry about trying to be the most unusual hype man in the history of American politics. But in a city where the city council spends an awful lot of unusual amounts of money on unusual things, perhaps the most unusual one is the money they spend on pizza parties to go around and find out what's going on in the city that they're supposed to be representing. So, at very least, for that reason, it's my honor to bring to you a man who isn't going to need a pizza party to find out what's going on in Charlottesville, the next city councilor from Charlottesville, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Jackson.
Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. I am formally and officially announcing my candidacy as an independent candidate for city council for the city of Charlottesville. I did run back in 06 as a Republican. I had my own platform back then. I kind of got away from parties simply because it's about people. It's not about parties. And regardless of which party you're in, you're a person. You're a citizen of the city of Charlottesville. I threw my hat into the city council ring for one reason: representation. Actual representation of the people. That is something that we're sadly lacking in the city of Charlottesville. We have too many divisive issues that really are not helping the citizens of this city. It never has and it never will. I was born and raised in this city. I have 10 generations of family that came from this city. So I do know Charlottesville. I'm not just for the little person. I'm not just for the middle person. I'm not just for the big person, I'm for everyone. And it's going to take all of us to make Charlottesville a city. No matter what your income level is, your educational level is, or your color, your religion, race, anything. For us to become a true all-American and world-class city, we have to work together. We have to respect one another together. There are a lot of things that are coming up the road pike that we have to work on. As a council person, that's going to be my job. I know what the job entails. I am not looking for money. I am not looking for fame or fortune. I'm looking to represent the people of my town, my hometown, and my city. I want people to come out if you want to get to know me. My phone number, email, everything is on my website, on Facebook. It's KWJ50 at Facebook.com. Anytime you want to call me, that is my personal number. I keep the phone on me at all times. I do answer my phone. As long as you're not a robocall, you can get through to me. It doesn't make a difference to me if you agree with me or disagree with me. I am able to discuss things with people, and I have an open mind. If I'm wrong, I will admit I'm wrong. If I have to correct myself, I will correct myself. If you have any questions about me, don't listen to rumors, call me. Ask me personally. I have nothing to hide. I am also not one with huge financial backers. So everything I do in this campaign is going to come from the people who really want, you know, a fair representation and a person that's out to represent them. Also, everything in this campaign is on my website, from the cost of the signs, to the cost of the commercials, to the cost of the advertising. Anything left over will go to a nonprofit. Everyone will be there to see it goes to a nonprofit. Like I said, it's not about me. It's not about fame, fortune. I'm in nobody's pocket. I'm not beholden to anybody. I'm not beholden to special interests. But if you want someone who actually believes that government is for, of, and by the people, then I'm the one you want to pick. Any questions?
What makes you unique compared to the other independent candidates in this race?
I really don't know too many of the other independent candidates. I come with a good deal of information about Charlottesville, the UVA, and all the businesses around here. I also have a close connection to the citizens throughout all neighborhoods. The other independent candidates, I really haven't talked to them. They have made no attempt to talk to me. So I can't criticize them or build them up, just like I cannot criticize the Democrats or build them up. I can only be me. Now, where we view different issues and views, not quite sure on that. I'm more of a realistic person. I'm not one who's going to put taxpayers' funds out there and spend them just to spend them, or just because something looks cute and then redo it later. And I would hope that even the independent other independent candidates would feel the same way.
Would you cancel the Our Town council meetings that Joe Thomas was referring to earlier?
The pizza parties.
The pizza parties.
I don't believe in, if I want to have a meeting, mm-hmm. we can meet. I don't need to eat. I don't need to have lunch. I hate when any kind of government does that. They sit down, they have these extravagant lunches. I've even heard they spent $1,500 on pizza. That's ridiculous. If we're going to sit down and we're going to discuss business, we sit down and discuss business. If I have to travel out of town to go on a business trip to D.C., I'm not asking you for mileage. That's what you pay me to do. There's a problem I have with government when every time a government leader looks around and says, well, you know, I need money because it's a little tougher than I thought, or it's taking up more of my time. What do you think the job entailed? You knew what the job, there's an old cartoon called Super Chicken, and they say, you know the job was dangerous when you took it, George. If you know what the job is about, don't come and look for extras. The citizens and the taxpayers should not have to pay that. Perfect example, you've given yourself a raise, council has given themselves a raise, they put money into a lot of things, redoing the, you know, the walkway on Belmont Bridge, which you're going to tear down anyway. You know, it's kind of like throwing good money after bad, but then you want to float a bond and get a loan. Why didn't you use that money for what you needed it for? It's called prioritizing. You know, another thing I want to look at is getting together with all these nonprofits that the city actually sponsors and supports and seeing how we can consolidate them and get more bang for the buck. Because you've got three or four groups doing the same thing here, five or six groups doing the same thing there. No one's actually coming together. I want to get a faith-based initiative. I like to work with AIM on that, Alliance for Interfaith Ministries, who can combine all the religious organizations. This is not to push someone's religious views. This is so we can actually work on fixing and bettering our community. I like to work with developers on actually making affordable housing. You know, I also think that anytime when we do development and they can pay that $600,000 so they don't have to make it mixed use, that $600,000 is not going to city coffers. It goes into an account for affordable housing. We need to work on our public housing. Our public housing really has not passed a decent HUD inspection, and we've been just beat down by HUD about the way we control the money and stuff they sent us. For over 20 years, we can't even keep a housing director. So there's a lot of facets that we have to work on, and we don't just talk about it, we have to be about it.
How would you have voted? Okay, so where we're standing right now, there's a hotel being built across there. The community in this neighborhood thought it was going to be housing, but it ended
so
up being
I.
a hotel. What would you? How would you have voted on that particular issue?
A hotel wouldn't have went there. Mm-hmm. It's not needed there. You know, this is a residential community. Actually, I grew up and went to high, all the way up to CHS, right up there on Fifth Street. I used to run down to this store to get milk and stuff for my mom, and on the way, my neighbors would ask me to get them things. This has always been a community. Now all of a sudden, I can't figure out what city council's idea of what they want to do with Cherry Avenue is. but I don't want to stop it from being the residential community it's always been. Yeah, that hotel should have never went there. Another question I have for City Council is why all the hotels and parking garages? I know you have the Twilight idea of bringing an NCAA tournament here, but realistically, an NCAA tournament usually plays 1 week in each city. And you may not see it again for 15 years. So in that 15-year period, what do these hotels and restaurants and all of that do to survive? You still have to pay employees, and you're not paying them a living wage. That's another thing about the city that I'm kind of tired of hearing about, is this living wage idea when 20% of your own employees don't make a living wage. You know, let's put our money where our mouths are. I mean, we've got all this new development, and I'll tell you right now, I was talking to one of my friends I grew up with, went to school with, graduated with, they worked at UVA for over 20-some years. And it really hurt me, the fact that she told me, I can't afford a home in this city. You know, we're the kind of people that went and kept the schools going. Our families kept the city going. And when you can't afford a home in this town, it's ridiculous. So all this talk about, oh, well, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a summit about affordable housing and stuff. You've been saying that for 30-some years. And you haven't gotten it right yet, but you spent a lot of money.
So specifically on that, I just want to press you on that real quick. So recently, council approved $240,000 out of the housing fund for the community land trust homes. It will purchase 4 houses. Have you looked into that issue, and is that one of the ways you think government can solve the issue?
I don't think it's government's place to purchase anything. Now, if you want to take that money, you want to put it into an interest-bearing account.
Well, the government didn't. The Thomas Jefferson Community Land Trust did. They just gave the money so that the nonprofit could do it. Is that a mechanism you would look into, look into?
If it's private public partnership, that would be great. I would also look into more of what we can do as a city, where we can put our money at. You know, we're going to spend, it's about $1 million once you finish all these legal fights to move a statue. When you could have took $500,000 of that money, put it into a secure interest-bearing account, and used it to help secure home loans for people like police officers, school teachers, and things, actual city employees.
You just mentioned the statue. You seem to get a lot of people on social media, kind of quoting you from that meeting, some council meeting earlier this year where they were talking about the statues. Did that embolden you at all for this campaign? It seemed that you made those comments at council saying, like, you know, this is a divisive issue, and then, like, I think it was a few weeks later that you announced the campaign. So how much did that weigh into this campaign, this Lee statue issue?
The Lee statue issue isn't so much a divisive issue, it's a silly issue. That statue has been there for almost 100 years now. A lot of us grew up under that statue. It never bothered us. It bothers me when politicians use things like this to goat a vote. You know, your movement statue is not going to make me better as a black person. What makes me better as a black person is going to school, getting an education, finding some pride, and doing what I have to do to survive. That's what we call equality, because that's what we're all supposed to be doing, be you black, white, pink, or purple. So I see the statue as just one way of saying, ooh, look what we've done. But I'm not the only one that feels that way. You have Eugene Williams. You have Teresa Walker, very well-known blacks in this community who've done great things in this community. And they were against moving the statue. But yet we had one city council person who pretty much told us we were dinosaurs. Well, I'm not dead yet. I've raised my child in this city. She grew up under that statue. Wow, she managed to get an advanced diploma and a good job. So what did the Lee statue do to her? You know, America doesn't have a great history. We have things in our history, whether you're black or white. We all have things in our past, but it's history. You cannot improve yourself if you don't look at the bad things, too. No, slavery was wrong. Slavery was wrong since Pharaoh. But at the same time, you're going to sit there and say a statue, that's all it does is remind you of slavery. But yet and still, you'll turn on the TV and you'll watch The Underground or Roots. I mean, you know, double standards. I can't ask for equality, but I'm going to take away someone else's rights. And they have a right. That statue's been there and it has a right to stay there. What I don't see a right of is the city taking its our money and our tax money to move it. Our tax money really didn't pay to put that there. Didn't pay for the land and so on. And I don't trust the city of Charlottesville. I'll be straightforward with you on that. 25 people and I were down there, and after people who were holding Black Lives Matter signs, and they were all white, who were telling me I was a white supremacist, once they quieted down and left us alone and stopped badgering us, I just told everyone, I said, be quiet and just look around. And if you look around, the same place Queen Charlotte Square is sitting, that's how big a block it is. So you imagine moving that statue and giving them 2 or 3 years. And imagine the condos and the office spaces that'll go up there. And it won't be a green space. Charlottesville's always touted itself about green space, but in the past 10 years, the green space is slowly disappearing. You know, we talk about greenery, bamboo forests that have been all around here. Remember, bamboo produces 3 times the oxygen the regular trees do. So when you take that down, what are you doing to the air quality in Charlottesville? One thing about me, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. I'm not the most eloquent person, but I'm real.
What do you hope to accomplish as far as if you do get elected and you, you know, held your position? What's the first thing you kind of want to cross off your agenda or main goals?
I'll be honest with you. One of the first things is I want to change the way we do public hearings. Your first reading of any issue, since there's usually 3, should be a public hearing. And a public hearing means you put the information out there and you listen to the citizens' feedback. Doesn't make a difference if you have to sit there 1 hour and listen to them or 2 hours and listen to them. When you get so high and mighty that your time is so valuable that you can't listen to the people you represent, we have issues, especially at local government. This is the main government where you can actually reach out to. You can see us on the street. You can come to us in our office. You can call us on the phone. That's the best part of being local government. But that's one of the first things I want to do, because I see so many people and you have 1, 2, 3 readings and it's over. The other thing is I will stop the movement of the statue. I think that we as a community and as people need to learn how to sit down and discuss things instead of getting all riled up by a small group. And it definitely is a small group. Most of the black people that I've talked to, we don't care about the statue. We don't want it removed. We'd like to see that money put into public housing. How's about fixing the elevator down there at Crescent Hall? So the fire and rescue don't have to risk their life and risk someone else's life having to lug them down the steps because the elevator broke down. And you gotta think, Crescent Hall is senior, elderly, and disabled. I mean, you know, let's be real. If we can't take care of them, what good are they? But we want to build so much stuff and so much bright stuff that supposed to bring tourists here. But tourists do not come to a place where the citizens themselves aren't happy. And Charlottesville can't be that bad, because every counselor on there has come here and they've done pretty well. They like the city. So we must have done something right. University of Virginia has grown. And I'd like to really work with you. We need to sit down with UVA and figure out what is your comprehensive plan. Before you encroach on any more neighborhoods, what is your comprehensive plan? And we as a city council need to realize UVA is one part of us, but we also have citizens. And we can't let them be forced out or pushed out, which we're doing a good job on doing.
So how can the municipality stop the state agency from doing that, though? So would you stop them
actually,
from growing?
Actually, we had a big id there that stopped them from expanding down into West Haven and 10th Street. They let it lapse. You can actually do that. And if you work with them, you can get them to grow out the other direction as well. So we need to work together. But UVA also has to realize you can't just come in and take over a city. It's just not done.
But that's, well, they've purchased property. Like any agency, they've purchased property. They purchased most of Brandon Avenue. They've purchased most of the Ivy Road corridor. That is where they're developing. Is that something that...
You can also see them coming down Main Street and Hardy Drive, and 10th and Page is right over there. So what you do is you end up pricing people out. Mixed use is a funny thing. If you put a $500,000 home beside a $50,000 home, and then you put a $250,000 home, how long do you think that real estate's going to stay the same for that person in that $50,000 home? There are things that state agencies can do, and if we work with people, like we need to work better with Albemarle. You know, right now, we're profit-sharing with Albemarle on the mall. You know, it's causing Albemarle some conflict. We need to work better with them. It can't be our way or the highway. And Charlottesville is only 10 square miles. We also need to remember that. And one last thing, too, because the new president of UVA said something, I think she misspoke, when she said, University of Virginia has nothing to do with the economics of Charlottesville. You are the largest employer out of seven counties. You're the largest employer in this area. Your students, your professors, everyone at UVA uses Charlottesville in some way. You are an economic part of Charlottesville.
When was this said?
She said it, 3 weeks ago? Do you remember what she said?
Because I was at a meeting a month ago where she said exactly the opposite. She was saying that they needed to work together.
Well, we've always wanted to work with UVA. I think under John Castain, we did a wonderful job.
Said that they needed to do more. The COO said that they needed to be a bigger part.
Yeah, I think Sullivan was at the meeting, too. It was the PAC meeting back in March. The Planning and Coordination Council. I can send you a link.
Okay,
yeah.
Please do. But it was said that we are not a integral part of or have nothing to do with Charlottesville's finance. And we did. UVA has always done that. And they've always been a part of us. And I'd like to see what we used to have with UVA come back. I mean, growing up in this town, UVA was one of my first jobs. So we do need to work with UVA, and we need to work with them sensibly. But we also need to work with the community. But we need to sit down and make it public. Not in these little meetings where everyone goes and sits down and, oh, yeah, and we decided this. The people need to know what's going on.
How do you bring people to meetings? You know, as far as talking about, you know, our town hall meetings and other things like that, it seems to me that, you know, buying food for people is a way to kind of attract them, to get them to come out. It's just one way to do it. But, I mean, how are you going to get people to come out to these meetings? How do you, you know...
Food does not attract people. Food draws people. It fattens them up. You have to let people know that you actually care about them. You have to go to them and talk to them. And when they come to these meetings and talk to you, they need to feel a part of it. I mean, I've watched the city. Quality Community Council was a beautiful organization. And I'm not just saying that because I was one of the sponsors of it. But it went into the communities. It got UVA and the doctors and all that to come into the communities. We used to do health walks and all that. It empowered people. Projects, well, West Haven. I'm going to call it what we call it. That was Projects. This was Prospect. And that was Garrett Square. You can change the name, but it was still the same thing. But it was all community. You know, go to Projects, people were out there, we were walking, we were talking to each other and stuff. I went over there a couple of weeks ago, and I was scared to be in my own neighborhood. There's no communication. And a lot of that is because, like it or not, city divides and conquers. You're not getting this, and you're not getting your fair. Well, what are you doing to do? You know, I've even had people ask me, how do we reach the people in the impoverished community? If you got to ask me, then you know nothing about them. First of all, go down there and talk to them. Or go talk to us. Because technically I'm poor. According to all federal and national standards and state standards, I'm in the poverty level. But I'm happy because I'm blessed. But I can go in any neighborhood and talk to anyone, even the upscale neighborhoods. But that's the Charlottesville I grew up in. We could walk anywhere we wanted to. We had friends in each and every neighborhood. You know, we talk about gentrification and think it's just black neighborhoods, but look at Belmont, blue-collar white neighborhoods. Look at Johnson Village, working-class white neighborhoods. These neighborhoods have been gentrified. They really have. I mean, you throw up $300,000-$500,000 condos. I remember one time they didn't even want to do anything down at the train station, leave the water tower up there, until a developer came in and said, hey, we can put some $200,000-$300,000 condos up here. Oh, yeah, we'll go all out to help you. Charlottesville wants to look elite. And I've got to ask, you know, do you want everyone that works here and keeps the city running to live somewhere else and just come in? That's kind of like slavery, isn't it? You're good enough to work for us and do for us, but you're not good enough to live around.